the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi saha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a reminder before we get started this morning that Sunday morning groups are recorded. Just like to tell folks that. Made available to the monthly donors. What would you like to look at this morning? Rebecca.
Well, this is sort of an ongoing workshop that a new element kind of dropped in around asking for and receiving support and guidance.
Asking for support and receiving guidance.
Both.
Both.
Or not asking for. And the bead that jumped out at me was, I turned to the Holy Order for guidance. May it be so. I was really emphasizing that may it be so today, because it just feels like that's an undeveloped habit of, you know, I would want to develop that habit more.
You want to develop the habit of turning to the Holy Order for guidance.
Mm-hmm. And, yes. Yeah, and the most recent example that I was looking at is I noticed that I would have really liked to have had more guidance around maintaining the privileged environment yesterday at the bridge walk. Mm-hmm. And I was really aware of that weeks ago.
But you were aware weeks ago that there was a question about maintaining the privileged environment?
Not a specific question. Uh-huh. I just sort of would have enjoyed the support and the conversation or, you know, mm-hmm. or something, mm-hmm. some more guidance around that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I didn't ask for it. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, there's every Thursday, Tuesday, and Sunday morning, right?
Right.
And there was this slip really quickly into, I need to figure it out myself.
Mm-hmm. So you were aware weeks ago that you would like to have a further conversation about maintaining the privileged environment at the bridge walk, mm-hmm. which is a very different sort of opportunity for us to come together as Sangha.
Yeah.
And of course, right after the ritual was over, conditioning has reminded you
yep.
that there was
actually reminded me in the bus yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning on the yeah. way to the bridge.
That was when it came. It's like, why didn't that like that, you know?
Uh-huh. In its helpful way.
Yeah.
But you really would like to strengthen that, I'll say, muscle.
Yeah.
That maybe, you know, when it arose a couple, you know, a few weeks ago, whenever it was to ask at that time.
Yeah. And just that process of slipping into, I need to figure it out myself. It's
yeah.
so under the radar
uh-huh.
until, of course, it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it sounds like that's kind of the default. I have to figure it out myself.
Yeah, definitely the default. But and what I'm you know, just sort of grappling with now is how that happens. How that, because I was aware that I would have enjoyed support. I mean, there was something, there was some sort of awareness that that was there, but it just got totally shelved.
So looking at that place where it tips from the person that would enjoy, or, you know, really having the guidance and have the freedom that ensues from, you know, having the guidance, sounds like it gets just overlooked.
And
there is another process that comes in about, well, I just have to figure it out myself, and to watch that and see how that gets set up.
And as you're saying that, what's dropping is, and I see that in lots of other ways too, things that have dropped in. And I'm really aware that they're there, but I don't act on it. It's like I don't recognize that that's life.
It just really goes back to what we've been talking a lot about lately, is when life gives us the information to act then. And then we strengthen that relationship with life. Like, yes, okay, got it. I'm going to follow what you say.
As long as and that can happen when I recognize that that's what it is.
There is the inquiry. To watch. To just be there and watching for that point when life drops in guidance and recognize it
as such.
Good practice.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
I saw some hands over on the left side.
So I was looking at yesterday when we were leaving the monastery, what I was experiencing was I really, really missed home and wanted to be home with family. And
when we were early yesterday morning?
Yeah, we were on the bus leaving the property.
You were missing home.
It was just like this longing. And so yesterday it was occurring to me more, so I saw many things about that. And one was yesterday I was looking at it kind of like, well, there's just a young child that misses her things, her home, her family, and all that. But today it seemed more clear to me what the difference. That one thing is that it's very similar to what I do in any process where I'm really excited about doing something, and then I don't want to do it or be there. I don't want to. And so I could see it as just that stage of that process. And then for whatever reason, it was really clear to me the difference between like a subpersonality and EKC mimicking it and wanting the attention. So it was clear to me that like a small child just wants to be with me and spend time with me, like this afternoon on a walk or something. And no matter what, the mimicking part just is never going to be happy with where I am. Here I am. It's a lovely place. There's nothing I like being here. So, it was kind of weird. And then for whatever reason, it dropped in to just pay attention or to practice that everything, every moment is new. And it was just amazing. So I tried new things. I mean, like, I don't know, everything's new, so everything would be new, but I tried things I'd never done before new. And then, obviously all this stuff I've already done and just experiencing the expansive joy and energy and everything with looking at everything I was doing was new versus being with I don't want to be here. Basically, I don't want to be here.
So it's sounding like life dropped in the possibility of being beginner's mind.
Yes.
Or being with everything as new. Just as we were talking about how life drops in information for us, and that dropped in for you. And you recognized it and you practiced that. And seeing the expansiveness that came from being in that place. And it sounds like noticing the contrast between an experience earlier and the day when you were missing family. Although prior to that, it sounds like there was some excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And then you noticed there was something that came in to kind of dampen the excitement, which we can suspect might have something to do with egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate.
Mm-hmm. I suspected it yesterday, but mm-hmm. really it wasn't all clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just watching how the energy dropped from that enthusiasm, and then having Mike drop in some information and going with that.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like so far I've been seeing like little mini processes,
mm-hmm.
and they happen really quickly, and then it's a mini process of the whole how everything turns into work, or I don't want to do it anymore,
mm-hmm.
which is cool.
It's very good to see.
Yes.
Yeah, so just really see.
Many steps of how that occurs. And yeah. Just, like life's presenting, like a little bit here and here, and eventually the whole thing.
So it's just seeing how the enthusiasm and joy for life, it sounds like, is siphoned off.
Crushed.
No.
And yeah, exactly. And watching how that happens in... And you describe it as mini steps, or you know,
mini processes,
and but how that just goes on, leaving the human kind of deflated and you know,
suffering.
Yeah, good to see that.
There was a couple of things that just brought up this morning too, and it was about guidance and sometimes asking for guidance and putting a note and wondering if there is no response, if that answer is no, or writing a few weeks ago about another product that I had, and I'd send a photograph and things, and not even hearing back, so I brought it because I thought, well, maybe I'll get an email while I've already left, and mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed I wanted to make a summary and say, well, if I don't hear back, it means no.
Mm-hmm.
I'll know that for future. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's true. Because,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
you know, I'll make it, other reasons up too, and say, well, I know people are awfully busy and there's a heck of a lot going on that I wouldn't have a clue about.
We're so good at, our conditioning is so good at being a meaning-making machine.
Yes.
And that, you know, we get some information and then we want to, like, figure out what it means and package it up. And,
Yeah. And that it means that forever.
And it means that forever.
Yeah. So that came. The other thing was practicing with the privileged environment yesterday. You know, so part of me thinks I did a really good job because it's really different than my personality normally. But it was kind of hard work not to look, keep my head up and be open and you know, really show my love and kindness, but do it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Without being personal. And, you know,
and it was difficult for me. Because there were a few people that, you know, I was really happy to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to be able to acknowledge them.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So there was this just desire to acknowledge people that you were really happy to see.
Yeah. And part of it is like, there's somebody inside who feels really hurt that they...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't need to know the personal history, but mm-hmm. I just happened to see them, and I didn't know how to show it.
Mm-hmm. You wanted those people to know that you were happy to see them, and it felt like you didn't have the opportunity to do that?
Well, I can back home and say, gosh, show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what dropped in was, this is the spirit of inquiry, mm-hmm. and this is my opportunity, this is... Where else in my life would I be able to practice that without mm-hmm. feeling like I was being rude or some mm-hmm. other story coming in? Because we're all on the same page.
Right.
I think most of us are. You know, I can't even know that because, you know, I could hear laughter and things going on, and there was part inside like, oh, I want to be able to do that. And I could really let go and be completely there when I could do like group yoga or the dancing. I could be a nobody.
Yeah.
A sort of like a somebody within the nobody. I could be. Yeah. I could be. Expressing myself.
You knew how to be in those situations, and you felt like you could express yourself, and you weren't, and you were, could practice being a nobody.
Yeah, I wasn't an individual because we were doing those things as a whole group. Felt like that. So there's somebody inside this feels like I don't quite know how to do this.
What arises is that, you know, for all of us, that's just a great opportunity to give that part what it needs. You know, that there's it's a wonderful opportunity for projection, too, to follow that projection. And that, how do I connect and let people know I'm very happy to see them? How do I connect with that and me and let those all parts of my me know that I'm really happy to be with them.
That's lovely.
And, you know, and so it's a great practice opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah. Krista.
I've been doing this business training, and we just had it last weekend. We just all met, and we did a training on making offers and enrollment conversation. And it's a system of selling, but you're learning how to really be present with another person and their needs. So that it's not like you're selling them something that they're going to not benefit. You're helping them see that this is exactly what they want for their life.
So you're present with them and listening to them, and in that conversation it sounds like you're getting in touch with what their needs are.
Right.
And, yeah.
It's a super fun thing to do. But I see in this group of, we're all practicing, and we're practicing with each other, and I see that the tendency is so much to go, how we would say in our practice language, to go to our, like, to our karmic place of rejection, or mine, you know, that's mine. But I see, I'm not alone in that.
And this tendency to go to the karmic place of rejection.
Right.
You see, it's a overall process for folks.
Right, right. I mean, maybe not everyone has it, but all the people in that room. 25 people that were there, as far as I can tell. And the thing that I saw so clearly, and I saw the tendency, I mean, I see that tendency because it's been there my whole life. And but what I saw is if it can stay with this process of really being present to another person, there, it has nothing to do with me. They're always only talking about them.
Right. So you can really not take any of it personally, to just be with that person and realize they're only, they're discussing, you know, or telling you about themselves, and it has nothing to do with you.
Right. And what I saw is that karmic, that conditioned habit to go to that place of, oh, this won't work, I'll be rejected, shuts down the information, shuts down the flow of like being present with the other person.
So, yeah, I hear you saying that the attention, when you notice that when the attention gets turned to the eye, and, you know, you start to think about how this information is going to affect you, it shuts down the ability to take in what that person is saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm just practicing that in my life, that it's actually always, people are always actually showing themselves. It's not actually about me.
Yeah.
Like I have my conditioned response. Like, I have a woman now who teaches at my studio. Like, she's good with the people, she's fine with the people, But the interactions I have with them, like, I've never had so much conflict with anybody in my life. And I devoted my life to avoiding conflict.
And so I told she's them, a perfect teacher there.
She's so yeah. perfect. And it's getting good because it's getting like I almost laugh about it instead of being like, before I was like, ah! And I told my sister, who of course has, we're twins, right? So she of course has the same conditioning as I have. And I told her one of the most recent story about the most recent series of interactions. She goes, that is so crazy, she has to go. And I said, or I just have to get really comfortable with conflict. And because why does she have to go if it doesn't matter? If it's not about me.
Exactly, that's that same, you know, it has nothing to do with you, and she's just telling you a whole lot about herself.
Yeah, and a few weeks ago I said, I can't tell if I hate her or if I just hate how I feel inside when I think about having to communicate with her. And then I realized that I don't hate her. And if I don't have to hate having conflict, then I don't even have to hate how I feel inside.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So, but I continue to see like there's that like possibility of the conditioned, like this kind of like deer in the headlight second, and then I go, and then like something comes in that's like, oh yeah, right, like this isn't, this is just, she's actually talking about her, it's not about me.
So there's another example of life dropping in information at the critical point. As you say, there's this point where it could go one of two ways. It could become about you, and then there's that awful feeling inside. And
right, you know, and then I'm three and I'm abandoned again.
Exactly. You don't have anything to do with this person. And
right. It's a business engagement, and I'm like, it's stuck at three. I don't want to have that.
Another thing that's so great to see, and how in the world, how many people are engaging in business and they're 3 years old. And to see that's not necessary. And in fact, it sounds like you're saying, you know, it's just seeing how that sets up the conflict between you and another person that's so unnecessary. Mm-hmm. When it's not about you.
Right. Well, what I'm seeing in these interactions is it's essentially never about me.
It's never about me.
Even though, like, my conditioning wants it to be, wants it to make it that old rejection again, that old abandonment again, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Boy, because, you know, if it can do that, well, suffering, you know, suffering's guaranteed.
Yeah. I have a person who was working at the studio and working with me, and I could tell that they kind of, and I really like that person. I like working with them, and like I personally enjoyed it. I like working with everybody essentially, but you know, I don't work with that many people who are like me, who are, you know, athletic and in their bodies, and I don't have a ton of those kind of people, so it's fun when those kind of people show up. And so I have this person like that, and then I could tell they moved on. And I just was looking at it this morning, like their energy, I could tell, like she cancels her appointments. I'm like, oh, this is finished. She's moved on. And I wanted, that part of me really wants to make it a type of rejection for me. And it's so current, because I just did some texting about it to the person this morning. And, but I said, well, it's not about me. It's not, it's sad, like that part of me who likes working with this person, it's disappointing. And then out of that disappointment, I can know that I want to make some other choices to create some other stuff at the studio. But I don't have to go to that place that it's a rejection. Yeah. It's just disappointing, and it's not personal.
Yeah. You can have that emotion of disappointment, but it doesn't have to mean a whole thing about rejection and what it means about you and what it means about your business and
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And that feeling of disappointment can just be a passing through and goes disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. So it feels like a really big shift from my whole life of everything being personal.
And I'm sure no one knows anything about me.
Yeah, probably not here.
No.
To the possibility of seeing essentially that nothing is personal.
Right. And so much freedom in that.
And a lot more possibility.
A lot more possibility, and a lot, and what arises is a lot more opportunity to connect with people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because you get to really be, I can really be with them instead of with my fear of being free and abandoned again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it brings you to that place that you started out with the beginning, you know? To just being able to be with each person, and you're in a particular opportunity for you're learning business skills, and how this goes beyond business skills and just lets you be with each person you encounter and be in tune with them and actually, you know, let them be heard.
Yeah.
Which seems to me, it's my personal experience, that that's the greatest gift we can give anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm letting them be heard. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Thank you.
Thank you.
So much in what everyone has said this morning. It's interesting. I've had the great gift of late where, it's just been an extraordinary period of time. Actually, what just came up was I was recently talking with someone in a dyad, and they were just talking exactly to my experience, which is that the retreat season is incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, just one after the other after the other, and it's as if, you know, for those of us who have the great good fortune to participate in, you know, so many of them, it's almost like they're orchestrated. Mm-hmm. You know, first we're going to do this one, then this one's going to build on that, even though they're completely different and different people are facilitating, and sometimes I'm participating and sometimes I'm facilitating and sometimes I'm, and yet there's this extraordinary kind of deepening to each one.
Exactly. It sounds like, as you described it, it is a symphony.
It is.
Just happening. And it, you know, sometimes you're the conductor, sometimes you're that, you know, and it just keeps building.
It does. It really, really does. But through that, one of the experiences I've had, especially lately, is just so many flashes of memory coming through, of, you know, from very young to recent, of just seeing the karma. And it's been really, really helpful on a number of levels. But I think that last conversation somehow just reminded me of it, in that I've had so many flashes of seeing how all these instances from being very young on up to present day and there's been no self-hate in it, so it's interesting how to phrase it, but how such a focus on I, me, mine, uh-huh. out of a place of fear, uh-huh. and I, the only way I can say it is that it's just engendered incredible compassion. Uh-huh. For the whole, and broad compassion for kind of this being, but like much bigger than that too. Mm-hmm. Just kind of seeing that, I don't know, in some way it's just very comforting somehow of like, oh yeah, there was a lot, there's been a lot to move through there. Uh-huh. You know, like seeing I think I've talked about this instance in group before, but that in kindergarten, being very sick, like throwing up the flu, and saying to my mom, I threw up, you know, at like, 8 o'clock in the morning, carpool's arriving in the driveway. I'm like, I promise that's the last time I'll throw up. You have to let me go to school. And this incredible sense of like, I have to be there. If I'm not there, something's going to happen without me. Like, the whole thing's going to go on without me. And I'm in kindergarten, you know? I mean, if that isn't karma, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. How much could have really happened at that point that, like, I'm going to be left out is, you know? Uh-huh. And then just, like, thing after thing after thing, and all these, quote, unskillful things throughout, and being called selfish internally because of XYZ, and just seeing, oh my gosh, it's all from that karmic place, you know, just the karma playing itself out.
So just really, I mean, it sounds like you start up talking about the retreat season and how that has actually just built upon itself, and giving you didn't say this directly, but maybe supporting what's been going on in your life of just having these flashes of a karmic predisposition that has been going, weaving itself throughout your life, and how that has built I don't know if the correct adjective, but just opened you to more compassion.
Yeah.
Because you can see how often those things that maybe in a place of identification, you know, where we really were taking all that personally, that we would be judgmental about it.
Exactly.
But coming from this place of seeing that, oh my God, it's coming from fear, you know, it's coming from,
all kinds of things that are driving without really the being having any choice about it.
Yeah.
Except that, you know, of course, egocentric karma conditioning self-hate begins to use practice to then sort of do the quote choice becomes, stop doing that. You know?
Yeah.
Stop doing that. But, of course, the whole huge thing that's missed in the big, the sort of middle place that's missed is just being present to it.
Yeah.
And just seeing where it comes from, not figuring out where it comes from or looking at where it comes from, but somehow in just seeing it, it's like, whoosh, aha, that's where it comes from, you know?
Yeah.
And then there can be a choice, but not really before that.
Right, not going on a pseudo-Zen campaign of, you know, having to fix and, okay, now I know this and I gotta stop it, but to just be present watch as we go about our lives and to just, as it arises, just be there in compassion.
Yeah, you know, there are two things that have made an extraordinary difference. One is, and something in one of those comments, it was the thing about, I don't have to hate how I feel inside. Mm-hmm. A big, big helpful piece has been being with the sensations. And it started with, so there's one particularly, you know, I'm sure we all have it, the karmic place, right? The, oh God, I'll do anything, don't make me go there again, kind of place. And of course, I have zero control over going there or not. And so, but I just, it was like a complete duh. It was one of those, like, getting it, what we always talk about. But, wow, what's so powerful and possible there is, I don't even know what, I wish there were new words to put to it, but that's okay.
It's okay.
Truly. I mean, there is nothing going on a sensation level that I can't manage, that I'm not adequate to. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I just got to this place of like, all right, let's just look at that.
Yeah.
And not anything, not even look at it isn't quite right, but just hang out, you know?
At least, have no resistance to it.
Let it wash over. And it's had these amazing billions of side benefits that I could have never imagined. Mm-hmm. And so, because the intention was just let it wash, let it wash. And so, you know, things like, okay, when that starts to come up, and there's like that, oh no, you know, this again, it's like, wait, oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. I'm actually practicing just letting this wash, so this is great.
That's right.
And not from that Pollyanna, like, oh, great, you know, I can't wait to go to this place, but truly, like, it does feel like it just, it wears it away. Mm-hmm. It wears away the power of it somehow, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. That the more that happens, and the more there is no reaction, resistance yeah. to it, it truly takes the power away. It's like it erodes the foundation of that thing.
Yes, it's the difference between just opening the door mm-hmm. and let it, you know, enter, and then keeping the door closed and having that big,
yeah,
you know, bunch of karma right. sensations just blow, you know.
That scary thing. At some point,
yeah.
you know. Yeah. And I think that's kind of, that's well put, because I think that's one of the things that was like doing that forever, and then it's getting to a point of realizing, how long do I really want to put my energy into that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's just open the darn door. You know, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And whatever it is, I'm tired of this other thing. So
truly.
Just let all the monsters out, you know?
And not only, yeah, it's wearing, you talked about wearing the sensations down, and we also get to the point of being somewhat worn down, and we just like,
yeah,
you know what, okay. I've done it every way from, you know, right. which way, and I surrender, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just open the door. And
yeah, yeah. And so it circles all the way back to the very first conversation. One of the things I noticed with it is that I hadn't realized how much those conditioning can use the fear of those sensations to control me.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it does is, if it no longer has that to hold over me,
yeah.
then, for example, I'm wise.